There's a war going on just across the street. There's a rage that's burning to an angry beat. I can feel the thirst, but there's no relief. We need a river. There's a sound in the distance like a thundercloud. We're waiting for the rain while the sun beats down. Can't you feel it rising from the underground? We need a river.
Oh, let justice flow like rivers. Oh, let mercy flow with love. Love, come to the water. Come to the water of life. It'll never run dry. Come to the water.
There's a cry from the child in the factory. There's a prayer from the prisoners of poverty. Save us from the greed and the apathy. We need a river. There's a hope like a flood running down our street. We're an army of peacemakers on our feet. Take us to the place love and mercy meet. We need a river.
Oh, let justice flow like rivers. Oh, let mercy flow with love. Love,
come.
Come to the water. Run to the water of life. It will never run dry. Come to the water. Run to the water of life. It will never run dry. Oh, let justice roll like rivers. Oh, let mercy flow with love. Love, come to the water. Come to the water of life. It will never run dry. Come to the water. Run to the water of life. It will never run dry. Come to the water. Come to the water of life. It will never run dry. Come to the water. Run to the water of life. It will never run dry.
What an appropriate prelude, right? Come to the water. We haven't had rain for how long, and we're getting it. We're apparently getting rain today. Pastor Mark is with the junior high youth group. There's, I don't know, a couple dozen of them that are on retreat this weekend. So we'll pray a blessing on them, that the waters won't bother them too much. But so I will take his place and help you with the call to worship. Would you please take your bulletins out and... The theme verse for today is from Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. Reading together. Since then, we have a great high priest.
Jesus, who is able to satisfy our weakness.
Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness. Please stand and sing though your praises boldly.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain from beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing. I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Yes, you make me sing. Lord, you make me sing, sing, sing. How you make me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing. Everyone sing. His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! Together we sing. glory. The earth is filled with his glory. It is rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It is rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing.
Is filled with his glory. I don't know what it's like for you, but I enjoy worshiping with other people. When I sit in the front row, I can't see many other people, but Mark, who's on retreat with the junior hires, I can watch him, and he does this neat little thing playing the drums with his two front fingers, and I missed that this morning, but I hope that they're doing that in their junior high worship in Warwick and having a good time, and blessings on them, and blessings on you. For the Lord says to you, mercy and peace in abundance. Receive it and share it with those around you, welcoming all in Christ's name. Number two thing I remember and miss when Mark's not leading worship is he tells you to go outside of your pews, and you sure do that. That's great. As we come before God, right, we praise God for his greatness as we just have done with enthusiasm, and we also quiet our hearts, and we recognize that that praise, that perfection of God that moves us to praise him is also not ours, and we need forgiveness and help. So would you join me in a prayer of confession, please? God, you're holy, we've just sang. You're set apart. You're other than us because you are completely and awesomely and wonderfully perfect, oh God. And we, even the best of us, have to look at our lives and say, well, that's not me. I am selfish. I overreact. I sometimes speak words too quickly. My tongue is too sharp sometimes. And sometimes I'm too afraid to stand up. And you know all of those things about me and about us that are less than your holiness and your perfection. And we're so thankful for Jesus Christ, who makes the way to the cross for us to be forgiven. Forgive us now. We pray this in your name, and all God's people said. Amen. And the great promise of Christ is that if we, you and I, confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive that forgiveness and praise God that he offers that. And now I want to offer the children to come forward for the children's message. There you go. We got to make a little room here.
Oh. Really,
oh.
Sure. Glad to have you here. It is on. Yep.
Hi, guys. Can everybody hear me? Okay, so my name is Leanne, and this is my very first time giving you guys the message. So I'm a little nervous, but I prayed, and so then I felt better. That's kind of what my message is about today, how God plays a role in your emotions and how you feel. Does anyone here ever get sad? Yeah. What do you guys do when you get sad?
Cry.
Cry. What else? Go in your room. And scream, and what else?
Sometimes
say bad things. And when or what makes you feel sad? What type of things make you feel sad?
Having to wait a long time to play video games.
Being teased. And what else?
Waiting
for your iPod to be charged. Can we all make a sad face? How do you make a sad face? Sad faces aren't very nice, right? To feel better when you're sad, some people eat ice cream cones, others may go play with friends, and others might turn on the TV. Do any of you do any of these things? You do? And, well, let me tell you what I do when I get sad. I tell Jesus, and I know that Jesus always wants to help me. So just knowing that he is trying to help me makes me feel better. Then my face goes from a sad face to a happy face. Like this morning, I was up all night last night with my little baby, and I think he's really, really, really sick. So after I leave here, we're going to take him to the hospital. So things like that make me sad. But then I pray to Jesus, and I know that he's going to take care of him. So can we all say a little prayer? Can you guys help me? Okay. Dear Jesus, when we get sad, please help us. Remind us that you are always sending people or ideas or things to help us when we're sad. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, go ahead.
And we're going to keep praying for Dominic, right? And
so
for the Gatones.
We're on the way to the hospital now.
Okay, so you go to the hospital. We'll pray for you.
Okay,
all right?
Thanks.
On that day when I see all that you have for me, when I see you face to face, is surrounded by your grace, all my fears swept away in the light of your embrace, where your love is all I need, and forever. The streets are made of gold, in your presence healed and whole. Let the songs of heaven rise to you alone. No weeping, no hurt or pain, no suffering, you hold me now. Hold me now. No darkness, no sick or lame, no hiding. You hold me now. You hold me now.
In that life I will stand through my joy. Hope that never fails.
Jesus Christ, you may be seated. Please take out your blue connection cards, and if you're a visitor among us, we'd love you to fill it out. If you're a regular attender, if you could at least put your name in and look on the back side. There's a number of places on the upper right-hand corner where you can get more information, or on the left corner, different spiritual commitments that you can make today, being held in Jesus' hand, and in the bottom, a couple of opportunities to sign up for Gigi Schweiker, nationally known speaker on early childhood, worked with the United Nations, committed Christian. She'll be speaking here in May. You can read more details about that, page 4, Building and Ground Spring Cleanup Day. We love the church that we have here. But the sanctuary you're seated in needs to be cleaned tomorrow, or the next Saturday. There's work to be done outside. Great time if you can give an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours on next Saturday morning to clean up. Please sign up for that. And last but not least, Sue is going to share with us about her, she's left her class upstairs. We don't know what those adults are doing.
Time right now. I said, when the kids come up, I got to run down. Just keep talking. So. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, faith looks up. I love that saying. If your life is would you like your life to be an example of the power of God's transformation, the perfection of God's peace, the superiority of God's plan, and the magnitude of God's blessing, I urge you to join us. There's over 45 women who have already signed up on May 5th. We're going to talk about becoming God's Phoenix Woman and achieving a triumphant life. And I'm going to share stories I'm going to share, we're going to examine four Bible women who are specifically mentioned in the Hero of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11. And I hope that you will join us. You can sign up for the conference on the connection card that Todd's just mentioned, that blue thing. You can come late. You can leave early. I just would like you to come, so I won't be insulted if you can't make it for the whole day. It's from 9 to 2. And I think we're going to have a really great time. I think it would be a great opportunity for you to meet some faces at church and begin this wonderful fellowship of believers. I'll leave you with one more saying. You are more than the choices you have made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade through Christ. Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your class. As we come from all the various activities of our life and of the church, let's pray together as we prepare to hear God's word. Jesus, we come with many different concerns or burdens or worries. We pray for the Gatones as they're on their way to the hospital with Dominic, who again has spent so much time in the hospital, and with the concern about Croup. We come maybe tired and yet refreshed from the retreats of this weekend, whether it's the junior high retreat that's happening still now this morning, groggily waking up and maybe eating breakfast around this time, whether it's the women's crossroads retreat where 150 women from around the Reformed Church, including women from our congregation, were at Harvey Cedars the last couple of days where our own Anna Schwarr spoke the last session. And, oh God, we pray that you'll rejuvenate us again, who may come somewhat rejuvenated, somewhat tired. We've celebrated weddings yesterday. We've celebrated, oh God, other experiences in our lives. We've gone through deep valleys, and yet all our paths lead here now to this moment where we open your word and we hear what you have to say to us. Oh God, speak, for your servants are now listening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to chapter 5, verse 10, and can be found on page 973 in your pew Bible. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you," as he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
If you were blessed to be here last week when another of our ministry students, Dave Zwanzik, preached, you'll be glad to remember that the Detroit Lions have not lost a football game between last Sunday and tonight. So I should not be depressed. And so I should be able to offer you an encouraging word. If I ever whine to you, just know that I come by it naturally. My dear and loving mother was whining to me the Monday before Easter that she had no place to go. Now, mind you, in her 82 years on God's green earth, she has never been alone on Easter. However, she has three boys who we don't plan ahead too far often. And I knew she'd be someplace. She wasn't sure. I invited her to come here. She doesn't travel, so I knew that wasn't going to happen. It was a safe invitation, I guess. So I listened to her. I assured her she'd find a place. But this is what she did. She called up my older brother, Jack, and she said, Jack, hey, what are you doing for Easter? Hint, hint. Jack knows how the game goes. He just played along. Jack, I don't have any place to go on Easter. Hint, hint, hint. Jack just played along and let it go. And then she said, well, I suppose none of my boys really want an old lady like me around on Easter. And about that time, Jack finally said, okay, well, you'll be over by our place at Easter. And of course she was. John Stewart would say, and you're not even Jewish. You know? But we all have that ability to whine to each other, right? I hope when I'm 82, I hope what I do is I pick up the phone and I say, hey guys, I want to come over to your place for Easter. What would you like me to bring? Or I hope I say, hey guys, I'm happy to take you out for Easter. Where would you like to go? I would rather be assertive, right? But we are who we are. So if I ever whine to you, I come by it naturally. I wonder, though, if God sometimes gets annoyed with us and our prayers the way I sometimes get annoyed by my mother. I wonder if you and I pray too many whining prayers to God. You know, prayers like, well, God, I don't know what to say. We probably don't even verbalize this. It's probably more a feeling. God, you know, I mean, they have this and I don't. Or, God, you know, I don't want to bother you, but, or, God, you know I haven't been as faithful as I should be or often am, but if you don't mind to change my husband or wife or son or daughter, you put it. Again, we don't verbalize that, but it's often the way we feel. So, why do we pray whining prayers more than we pray winning prayers? If you've been around here a while, you know that I've said before, the Psalms, the largest book in the Bible, are prayers, 150 of them, and most of them are prayers of lament, not thanksgiving, not praise, not supplication, lament, whining. Why are we like that? Well, I suppose you could say, you know, if I want to play armchair psychologist, you could attribute it to self image. You know, maybe we feel small in the whole cosmos and feel like we're not worthy to ask. And in a sense, it's true. We are small and we're not worthy to ask. Or maybe we feel like we've not lived up to our ideals. We feel guilty about that. And so we'd like to ask assertively, but we're not sure we can. Or maybe it's just that we've gotten messages from our parents that said, hey, don't bother me now. I'm too busy. And maybe we've projected that onto the ruler of the universe. He must be too busy for my little problems, right? I have to admit to you that I've felt unworthy. I've felt like a bother. I've felt I don't have enough faith. I feel that every day, don't you? But if you and I have reason to whine to God, the dictionary defines that as to complain in an annoying fashion, right? If you and I have that, the Hebrew Christians, we're going to spend a few weeks in Hebrews, the Hebrew Christians had even more reason. And I say that because the Hebrew Christians were the first Christians, because Jesus was, you know, they were in Jerusalem, they were at the Jewish center, Jesus started with the Jews, they were the first Christians, and as the first century went on, they were increasingly marginalized. So that if they knocked on the door and said, excuse me, sir, I'd like a job, and, you know, not a big town, they know each other, you're one of those Jesus freaks, aren't you? Well, I thought, absolutely not. Or, Mr. Horowitz, sir, I'd love to marry your daughter. Wait a minute, you're following the false Messiah, right? Absolutely not. And so a lot of the Jewish Christians, you can find this in other letters of Paul where he would collect offerings for them, a lot of them were reduced to begging at the temple gates for the pilgrims because they had no work, no family, they had been ostracized. They had reason to whine to God. But to these people, there's that great verse we already read at the beginning at the call to worship, where the writer to Hebrews, and we're not sure who the writer is, writes this. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace. We're not going to say much about that, but that's a great picture of God. Throne of grace, throne of unconditional love, mercy, always concerned about. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness. Now that's interesting. And the writer to Hebrews goes about this not trying to buck up their view of themselves, but rather he tries to buck up their view of Jesus. And he says this to them. Remember, they're Jewish Christians, so they would know the temple very well. He says to them, Jesus is a perfect high priest. Now I understand that we may have a negative connotation. Some of us may have a negative connotation with the word priest. We may think of that as black collar, as I don't know what we would think about that. But priest simply meant the one who represents you to God and represents God to you. Think about that. Use the word mediator. Use the word go-between. Use the word advocate. Use the word lobbyist. Okay? So this passage that we just read is all about you can pray boldly because you have the perfect high priest. Let's talk about that in three ways. First, we can pray boldly because Jesus is the perfect priest because Jesus is God. Here's how the writer of Hebrews says that. He says, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Now, that's not talking so much about a long trip as it's talking about leaving a loving Trinity, right? Jesus, heaven is where God, it's not a physical place, it's where God resides, and God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, completely in an embrace of perfect love and perfect unity. Jesus left that to come to our war-torn world, right? And so Jesus has the ear of the sovereign of the universe. You know, if I had a problem that only the president could solve, and if I happened to be, let's say, a high school sweetheart to Michelle Obama, I don't know, maybe that's not a good one, maybe just a high school friend of Michelle Obama, because you don't know how they break up, right? And I had her cell phone, and I was able to call FLOTUS and say to her, Michelle, could you ask Barack to help me? Maybe after she kissed him goodnight, maybe she'd say, no, remember Todd's concern. Or maybe as she kissed him off to go into the Oval Office in the morning, maybe don't forget about Todd's. Wow, I'd have tremendous access. And what the writer to Hebrews is saying is that you and I have the perfect priest, the one who's one with God in the embrace of the Trinity, who has God's ear and can represent our concerns and our needs perfectly to the ruler of the universe. That's the first reason you and I can pray boldly. Second reason, maybe we should have started with this one, but Jesus is also perfectly one of us. That's the mystery. The way the writer of Hebrews says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. The mystery of the Christian faith is that somehow, some way, Jesus is God-man. Somehow, some way, the Chalcedonian Creed, confessed by Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox Christians, says that Jesus is truly God, whatever that means, and truly man. I think we have a better idea what that means, right? So, you feel poorer than you'd like to be? Jesus was a homeless rabbi. You feel more tempted than you'd like to be? Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness face to face with evil incarnate. You feel, let me see, I got a whole list here. Let me go look down my list because I'm missing number three here. Oh, that's right. You feel like you've got more than you can handle? Remember all those stories in the Gospels where Jesus would go to a new village and within a short time there'd be this crowd outside of the house that he was staying at, knocking on the door, trying to get him to come out to heal or to teach or to do. He was always pulled in 1,000 directions. You feel unsatisfied with what God has given you. Remember the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Luke, the physician, says, and I guess this is a medical disorder of tremendous stress, actually sweat drops of blood until he could surrender to God Almighty. You feel betrayed by your best friend. Jesus was betrayed and denied by his inner circle. So, in summary, Jesus has been tested in every way that you and I are because he's one of us. And here's the summary sort of statement. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus had to learn. It was human enough to have to develop and to learn as we are and understands our learning process as well. So, you and I can pray boldly because we've got one who's one with God, who's one with us, and then third and last, the writer to Hebrews says that he did not choose to be our priest. He was chosen. It says it in these words. And one does not presume to take this honor of being a priest, but takes it only when called by God. I'll pick on Mark because he's not here. One of the reasons why you don't want to pay your clergy too much is because you don't want your clergy to go into it for the money, right? You don't want Mark to say, oh, I can get a better deal getting a master's degree and being a seminarian than if I get a master's degree in education. You don't want that type of comparison, right? Because this is a calling. It's not a career. Now, let me remind us all, though, that we all have the same calling to serve, right? So it's not about always where the top dollar can come for us. It's about how can we best serve, because all of us were commissioned to serve us in baptism. But that's the same with Jesus. You don't want a priest who says, oh, let me go, I'll go. No. You want somebody that when he's tapped on the shoulder to go, that he knows both the privilege of serving God and he knows the pain. And he's willing to put up with the pain, and for him it was greater pain than Mark or I or any of us will ever go through, put up with the pain in order to serve, to have the privilege to serve. That's the priest we have. We have a priest that advocates for us before the Almighty, not for his personal power, for his personal prestige, for his personal gain, but to serve you and me. And that's why you and I can pray boldly. So this week, pray. Let's try not to whine to God in our prayers. Let's try not to beg God. Let's pray bolder prayers. Let's pray confident prayers. Jesus, I'm going through this trial that I don't want to go through, but I know that I can do all things through you who give me the strength. Or, Jesus, I know you've led me in this business not to impoverish me, but to bless me. And I want to believe, I'm asking for the faith to believe, that one of these next series of sales calls I make is going to, and I'll be careful to be good steward of what you give me. Or pray big prayers. Not Jesus, I pray that you'll touch one person in my church school class. Jesus, teach through me so that all of my students can be impacted for you. Jesus, I pray for my son, and not just my son, but for his friends, that they might, through this difficult time they're going through, they might all come and find you, your love and your grace and your peace, and you might put their lives back together. Jesus, I pray that this little microloan that I make to an impoverished country like Mali will actually make a dent in poverty. Let's pray confident prayers. Let's pray bold prayers. Let's whine less. Let's pray more winning prayers. And we'll find the blessing and the strength of God Almighty and Jesus Christ, our High Priest. Pray with me. And so, Jesus, we believe that you are our lobbyist, our advocate, our priest, our go-between. And we ask you, Jesus, now, to in that deepest need of our lives, to speak within us confidence and to make our faith grow, that we might face that situation or seize that opportunity, and that we might do it boldly for your honor and glory. And when we make a mistake, oh God, and we'll make many, thank you that you'll pick us up, that you'll forgive us, that it's a throne of grace before which we come, and that we can go forward learning and by what we suffer in order to make a greater impact for the honor and glory of your name. Lord Jesus, do it for your glory. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, please stand and confess your faith with me. In the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number 121, where it's making a comment on the Lord's Prayer. Why start the Lord's Prayer with "Our Father who art in heaven"? God has promised you that. You'll receive it. And please sit down and give yourself to God on the connection card, the spiritual commitment you're willing to make in terms of your prayers, and also in your tithes and offerings as you give generously to God who gives all to us.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was the time, and you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. I'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus.
For the marriage that's struggling, just hang on. They've lost all their faith in love, and they've done all they can to make it right again. Still, it's not enough.
For the ones who can break their addictions and chains, try to give up, but you come back again. Just remember that you're not alone in your shame and your suffering.
There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is
His grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus.
When you're lonely and you feel like the whole world is falling on you,
you just reach out. You just cry out to Jesus.
Cry out to Jesus. To the widow who suffers from being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes. For the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight.
There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are.
Cry out to Jesus.
Cry out to Jesus.
Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus.
Thank you. We can cry out to you, and you're always listening. It's amazing. We praise you for that, and we ask you to help us remember that, oh God, in whatever the situation that we're in, so that we can help others this week know that too, as we listen to them and their difficulties and their pain, and we cry out on their behalf, or we help them cry out to you as well. Lord, we give ourselves to that great mission as you have given yourself to us. It's in your name we pray, and all God's people said. You may be seated. And continuing in a spirit of, I hope, bold prayer, let us bring before God these requests as well. Lord Jesus, we thank you for many things. We thank you for a niece who's becoming 13, who's so nice and kind to her family, and her birthday is 2 weeks from now, oh God. We thank you for Chuck Colson, who died yesterday, a great Christian in this country. We're thankful for the Lord calling my son at the age of 17 to enlist in the Army Reserve. We're thankful for Walt Burgess on his 67th birthday today. We're thankful for Mike Baker's safe return from India. We're thankful Dick and I are pleased to have our sister-in-law Lynn visiting us from England. We're thankful for all the firemen of our community who responded quickly to the house fire this past Thursday, and we thank you that no one was hurt. We're thankful for the opportunity to have a great interview for a new job this week and feel hopeful again. We're thankful for the Bible and freedom to study and worship and for praise music, oh God, and we bring other thanksgivings to you. Hear us, Jesus, as we ask you for. Kate is very thankful that her son Tom has accepted a position in Virginia as a firefighter.
The upcoming spring camping trip.
We're thankful for the upcoming spring camping trip and the opportunity to worship and enjoy you in creation with your family here.
Thanksgivings for a job for Thomas.
Thanksgivings for a job for Thomas. We're thankful for the outreach of pastors and people of this church into the community. We're thankful for the Crossroads Retreat and for Anna sharing your love. And we're thankful for the opportunity next year, April 19 and 20, to have the same retreat again.
Thank you for all participating in the two color guard teams who did very well yesterday.
We're thankful for all that participated in the two color guard teams who did very well yesterday. And then, Jesus, we bring before you these broken places in life. Daughter-in-law Jennifer, who is being operated on tomorrow at Hunterdon Medical Center. For Jimmy on hospice with pancreatic cancer. For Mark Kitzkel in hospital, cancer of the lungs. For those who are extremely stressed and mistakenly take it out on others. For my own grandnephew, Isaac Burstra, who at a couple months old is going to have to go on dialysis. For a friend in need of surgery. For a good test results for my husband this week. And we pray for weight loss, continued safety for the firefighters as they leave their homes to help others and to save theirs, and for a step-grandma who has had a stroke, we hope that she's okay, and for God to grant a good medical report on Tuesday, and those in jail ministry to see a great harvest of souls. Well, God, we add to those prayers the prayers that you lay before us now. Hear us as we ask you for. Prayers for Joe as he prepares to leave for medical school.
For the first venture of the Act of Adult Group today, Miles helped the organizers and the people who are going to be in the wheelchair at 1 o'clock in the rain today. Welcome.
We pray for the first event of the Active Adult Group as they participate in Miles for Matheny, I'm sorry, and at 1 o'clock with wheelchairs and such in the rain. Prayers for good friend Susan, who's in Overlook Hospital with diverticulitis. For return from those at Warwick and Boy Scout camping, and for the military, those serving in the military. Special prayers for good friend Walt as he celebrates another birthday this week. Pray for college students in the upcoming stress of finals week.
Safety for my brother and his new job.
Safety for Linda's brother and his new job. And Jesus, we combine all of these prayers with people around the world who barrage you simultaneously with our requests, and we do it boldly with a prayer that you've taught us, and pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
sing and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus.
We will
sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning, Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. We will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus.
Next to you. I know that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this most importantly, that Jesus goes with you before to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said.
Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning, Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for.
and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift